Greetings to you, precious child of God. You're welcome to the Sydney Elemental Podcast. Today, the man of God takes us through a series titled Spiritual Warfare. This is part one. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Amen. We want to start with a series, Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual Warfare. Spiritual warfare. And tonight under spiritual warfare, we want to look at seasons of temptation. Seasons of temptation. Seasons of temptation. And we want to take our scripture from Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. I also want to acknowledge the presence of our pastors here, Pastor Isaac and Lady Pastor Lilia Lamenza. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 4 verse 13, the King James Version, and I read. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You see it? It says what? For what? A season. I take it again. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Hallelujah. And I want us to read again from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, King James Version. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. It says that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. Is it there? Do you see it? It says, to everything there is what? A season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, as a preacher, you know, you become so much unpopular, especially when you preach certain message, when you teach certain message, because people don't want to hear it. And either they don't want to hear it or they don't believe it. Praise the Lord. And there is nothing disconnecting for a preacher to know that, you know, he has some good advice for the people, not his own, but from scripture that will mightily impact the people and mightily also impact what? The house of God or the church. Sometimes we look at some of these teachings and we see that if we receive them, we become victorious in the area of calling, number one, or in the area of our discipline, number two. That is not only in the house of God, but also at where you are on your field or on your endeavors, whether you were a business person, you know, whether you are in school or whether wherever you are, you become victorious when you know or you understand some of these teachings. Praise the Lord. And there is nothing more scoffed at the, you know, the idea that spiritual warfare is something that every person is involved. Somebody says spiritual warfare. Can you hear me? Someone says spiritual warfare. Most people don't want to believe that they are in spiritual warfare. Most people don't want to believe. They don't want to believe that they are in battle. They don't want to believe that they are in a war. And the war is not only any kind of war, but it's a war for their very what? Soul. Praise the Lord. Because we don't have spiritual eyes, we cannot see the battle that is around us. Someone says spiritual eye. And because our spiritual eyes is not there, we are limited to see the kind of battles around us. And it is difficult for our limited imagination to even consider the kind of battle that is taking place around our life. Tonight, I'm teaching again on spiritual warfare, and I'm teaching on seasons of temptation. Hallelujah. The fact that we cannot see some of these war around us, sometimes we envisage that anytime it comes to war, it is when a nation is fighting another nation, or when we see Russia and Ukraine, or when we see armored tankers, you know, flying here and there, and we see missiles and guns and jets flying in there, and that is when we see that there is war happening. But there is something called spiritual warfare. Someone says spiritual warfare. Let's not forget that every man, one way or the other, encounters what? A battle. And the battle is a battle for our soul. Praise the Lord. In fact, the devil longs to lure us into a state of sleepy spiritual lethargy and to make us, or to fool us, to think that nothing is really taking place in our life. That everything that is happening in our life is normal. Somebody says spiritual warfare. That everything that is happening is what? Is normal. And sometimes the devil makes us think that there is absolutely nothing happening to us in our life. It makes it feel like, it's normal, it's normal. But indeed, there is what? A spiritual battle around your soul. And primarily, it is because of what? Your soul. And that is why you have cases where people go to sell their soul because of what they will want, they will get. Hallelujah. There's a man called C.S. Lewis, who's an Anglican theologian. And he said something. He said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope and soft underfoot without sudden turnings, without milestone. So you look at his little book that he wrote called The Screwtape Letters. He wrote that the devil wants two things out of your life. Two things. Either you ignore him and his demons, or either you are curious about their existence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you have been filled with the Spirit, whether you like it or not, you are in a fight of your life. Whether you like it or not, you are in a fight of your life. And it's not my desire to cause some fear in you, or let you know that, or put some fear in you, but that is the reality, that there is a battle around our life. It's my desire to get you into the understanding of how the devil works, and with great deception and temptation, it causes men and women to fall. Praise the Lord. But I have the feeling that if our spiritual discernment has a great improvement, we suddenly become aware of what is around our life. If our spiritual discernment has greatly improved. And that is why when we are praying and spending time in the Word of God, our minds and our spiritual senses, they see the patterns and the way of the devil. I repeat it again. When we are praying and we are studying the Word of God, our spiritual mind or our spiritual senses is able to determine the patterns of the enemy. And this helps us so that the enemy does not take advantage of us. Number one, advantage of our families. Number two, advantage of our friends. Sometimes, even in the church as well. And others have told me that demonic spirits have tendencies to be more openly confrontational in some countries. You know, and you will find that in Acts chapter 8, you realize that Simon the sorcerer, he deceived the entire city. Simon, one person, caused a deception for the entire city. Praise the Lord. And not only that, but he had a tool, and which was a fortune teller. You remember? There's a fortune teller that can prophesy, you know, but he's fortune telling. Praise the Lord. And this was a demonic word, manipulation. My teaching here. And what is chilling to me is the fact that, you know, you have some other testimonies of missionaries go out there and go and do missions, go and preach the word of God and all that, and they come back. And they realize that some churches are actually dead. And the enemy has taken advantage of those churches. And sometimes there is no much, you know, I would say that the attack is subtle, because the enemy sit in the pews and then manipulate people, fight against themselves, or become raises some sort of man-made worship. Worship, people will worship that is not true worship. It's worshiping because they have voice, because they can worship, but it is not what true worship. Am I communicating? I will say that where are the true worship? Where one can take a microphone. Remember, years ago, when people could worship, and you could tell the secret place where they're coming from. It's not just voice. You could experience and feel the power of God manifest in the place. Am I communicating here? Hallelujah. So it's very important that we understand that the enemy is still around and trying to attack one way or the other. And sometimes he works behind the scenes like the sons of Sceva. And our eyes need to be open. We should not just be, you know, religious, but we have to carry discernment. And in carrying discernment, we carry the hunger of God to pray and to study what the word of God. Amen. This time around, there is no hunger for the word. There is little devotion to the word of God. There's little devotion to God. No desire for spiritual revival. No desire for soul winning. A pastor was leading us. He said something in that. Out of all the prayers he led, one thing I picked is soul. Give us grace for soul. Am I communicating here? And I'm convinced that there are people in City of His Presence watching me, and those that are not even in City of His Presence who entirely believe that they are in a spiritual warfare. Am I communicating here? And I'm also convinced that they are powerhouses. They don't take their prayer life just like that for granted. They don't take their Bible reading for granted. But they are seeking ways and means for the anointing of God to help them in their life. Praise the Lord. I want you to say this after me. I want nothing more than the word of God. Say, I want nothing more than the word of God. And the fact of the matter is that you will make it if you endure to the end. I'm saying that again. You will make it if you do what you endure to the end. It's not without a fight. It always comes with a fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. Let's read. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. It says that, King James, it says that, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what his devices. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what his devices. Let's go to Luke chapter 22 verse 31. Luke chapter 22 verse 31 in James, and I read, and the Lord said, Simeon, Simeon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as not like a widow, sweet. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, King James Version. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. It says, finally, it gives a word there. It says what? Not beginning, no. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. It says what? Let's read. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, to stand. Six seasons of temptation. You see, as we read in the text from Luke and Ecclesiastes, there is a clear understanding as to the fact that there are certain seasons that take place in our life. It's not true. If the devil left the Lord Jesus for a season, that means that his pre-temptation took place in what season? Are you following? Which is pretty elementary. Is it there? We read the Bible says what? It says that, and when the devil, Luke chapter 4 verse 13, And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a what? A season. Is it there? You see that? For what? A season. Hallelujah. A man said something, theologian William Daniel. He said, Satan knows when to make his approaches. When, if at any time, he is most likely to be entertained. As Christ had the tongue of learned to speak a word in season of counsel and comfort to a doubting, troubled soul, so Satan shows his black art and hellish skill in speaking words of seduction and temptation in season. And a word in season is a word on its wheels. Unquote. So there are probably many times that we find ourselves in a season of temptation in our spiritual war. But I'm going to use only six. I'm going to use only six. Which to me, I believe that is not exhaustive by any means. But I'm going to use six. And you can probably add these just by reading the Bible and pinpointing times when people find themselves under attack of the devil. Number one, the first season of temptation, immediately after conversion. Number one, first season of temptation is immediately after conversion. The devil does it or his best attack to a new saint in the earliest stages of his life. The reason is that because he hates what has taken place in your life. He hates the work of righteousness. It becomes his intent to destroy the faith or the new faith of the new convert. And that is his primary moment. Immediately you say, I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. And the attack may not come a week after or even the month after, because the exciting and desire is at a higher pitch. And there is no wonder, in the soul of the new convert, when the new convert all of a sudden experiences worship, prayer. I mean, you remember when you became born again, sometimes you could be in your room, you are worshiping, sometimes you are praying. The desire for evangelism, how somebody won you to Christ or evangelized to you, and you became a born again Christian, and all of a sudden you also feel the same thing. That the devil shies away from them during this period of time, during that period of time, when there is a heightened glory of worship, the heightened glory of prayer, the heightened glory of the word. But when the initial inspiration of salvation begins to taper, then he attacks. The beginning there, he's okay with it. When you are excited, hey, you are singing, oh, he, Yehovah, Yebedawa, see, you are so excited. He's relaxed, he's watching. But when the excitement taper, then he begins to what? Attack. How does he do that? Through ridicule. Ridicule from close friends. Ridicule from, hey, now see, I done a pastor. Have you turned into a pastor? Hey, now you are a chorister. Now you are doing this. And not only close friends, but family members as well. Praise the Lord. I remember the first day I started speaking in tongues in the house. And somebody said, hey, one of tongues in the Kusiano. They were amazed and wondering what was happening. So the enemy does this through what? Ridicule from close friends and family, and also through intense temptation from the old crowd to do what? The old things again. Not only to do the old things again, but also reminding you of your failures of the past. Not only the failures of your past, but through disastrous all kinds of entertainment, eating, shopping, hobbying, and all those things. Making sure that there is no time. And the underlining word here is that he makes sure that there is no time for the soul, for the keeping of what? Of the soul. Because your soul is always going to be cultivated in the quiet places of devotion. in the quiet places of devotion. And what I mean by that is by private prayer, private Bible reading, and private meditation. There are some people, they are so everywhere when it comes to corporate prayer, but their private place is nothing to write home about. No prayer, no Bible reading, no time with the Lord. But when it comes to corporate prayer, you can see that they pray like something. But on the inside, they are as rotten as a tomato that has been in the fridge and the ECG has taken the light and it's been there for days. Hallelujah. And one of the things to the enemy does is making you think that you can have the best of both worlds. Is it not true? It makes you think, chill small, church small, chill, check, you know, that sort of thing. But I want to say that this pattern is an old one to attack the young. It's always been a pattern to attack what the young. And a typical example is when Pharaoh wanted to destroy all the newborns in Goshen. This is the scheme of the enemy. He does the same thing all day. Listen, there is nothing new the enemy is producing. It's the same thing all what the time. That is why the Bible says what? It says that we need to know the devices of the enemy. It says, don't be what? Ignorant. You see, Eka said, don't be ignorant. Just say, we expect that word, you know. It's not true. Why are you ignorant about this thing? It means that I expect that word, you should know about it. So scripture is saying, do not be ignorant. These are the old schemes of the enemy. Just as Herod did. He decided to destroy Jesus, killing what? All the young males in what? In Jerusalem. The same old strategy. So first, he comes forward, the new conversion. In your early days, he's okay with everything. But then he waits when things are tapered. Then he begins what? To strike. Now, what is the remedy? The remedy of escape is for someone to build an ark to save them. And what do I mean by an ark to save them? You need somebody, you need the Jochebed and the Miriams to rise up and show their responsibility towards what? Somebody who is genuinely building his love for Christ. People that can help you. People that can be there for you. People that can encourage you. Not people that will pull you down. People that will say, oh, say, can we got a guy in our house. We say, we start to kakasa fufro. We got a guy in our house. We sorry. And then, and now, away. Am I communicating here? His desire to bring them back to the bitter bondage and hard labor of sinful life is the strategy of the enemy. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that the Lord will put us under his wings, even in the very attack. So sometimes you rededicate your life to Christ. It's like being newly converted, starting all over again, and then it happens. Praise the Lord. Number two, second season of temptation, the pain of life. The pain of life. Now, in the first season of temptation, it takes place immediately after what? Conversion. The second season takes place when the pain of life settles in on us. The devil is a masterful in attacking us with painful situations. He uses the body of mind and body. Sick bodies, sick minds become his what? His playground. And in those times of gripping pain, he makes us think that God has forgotten about you. God has forgotten about us. And God does not care. So sometimes he will put you in the past of your mother, your father, your auntie, your sister, and all that. And he makes you feel that God does not care. And God does not what exist. Do not be ignorant of the devices what? Of the enemy. He longs for us to think that is the enemy. He longs for us to think that the spirit and the church has led some of us blinded. And he is like an attacker who goes into the wild city and looks for the weakness in the wall. If you look at the story of Job, Job had a great loss of wealth, of health, family. The devil attacked him and with a vengeance, he inspired the man to even curse God and what? And die. You remember? To curse God and what? And die. Jesus fasted for 40 days and the devil attacked with a fierceness of temptation. 40 days old. And he attacked him with fierceness of what? Temptation. So the truth is that when we are hurting, okay? When we are hurting, temptation is never stronger as when we are out in our weakest point. Am I communicating here? So the devil will paint up sin as a certain way for us to escape to the very sin that will damn us. And that is what he does. And that is the sly and wily approach of the old man, Lucifer. That is his approach to make sure that he brings believers down. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, King James Version. I'm teaching on the seasons of temptation, on spiritual attack, on spiritual battle. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Let's read next. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. May that be your story in Jesus' name. You see, suffering is a fact of life. Suffering. Let me repeat it again. Suffering is what? It's a fact of life. As long as we are on the earth in this fallen world, we will suffer one way or the other. Now, what the devil bless our mind to, he makes us think that once we receive the Holy Ghost, we are immune to all suffering. And that is what people say, Sydney, I thought I had the Holy Ghost, so why am I suffering? The person who spoke to me and I gave my life to Jesus, he told me when I accept Jesus, everything will be smooth for me. I will eat burger, I will eat ice cream, I will eat everything. Everything I command from heaven, it will come down. And because of that, when immediately I started going through suffering, I felt like, no, this is not a good place to be. But that is the old scheme of the enemy. But consider what God told Ananias to tell Saul. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. I want to finish the part one, so I will rush through a bit. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to 16. It says that, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentile and kings and the children of Israel. Let's read 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look at somebody say, you will suffer for his name's sake. And when I am persevering, hallelujah. Notice what God says. He says, show him the great thing he must suffer for what? My name's sake. Wait, so small suffering, you want to run away. Let me speak pigeon. You want, hallelujah. You want scatter. He didn't say, tell him that he will have great revivals in the place of ministry. No. He said, tell him that he will go through a lot, even in missionary. Even in his New Testament life, he will go through what? So many things. Tell him that he will write over half of the New Testament. Tell him that he will have great impact on the church until the return of the Lord. He did not say that. He said he will what? Suffer for my name what? Sake. Find any man or woman who has greatly been used by God. And I want to repeat again. Find any man or woman who have been greatly been used by God, and he will share with you some of his suffering. It is not easy. As much as you decide to follow Christ, it will come at you. But he says your end will be joyous. Praise the Lord. I believe it's a good place to say amen. So don't take suffering personal, please. Do not take, some of you have taken like briefcase, you put all your things inside. Some, It's like your purse that your makeup, everything is. You have taken it personal. Like your earrings that when you forget to wear it before you come into church, you go back to take it before you come to church. Do not take suffering personal. It will happen to everyone who walks the path towards heaven. Everyone who walks the path towards heaven. I want to say this. The devil is an expert of taking advantage of deceptive humanistic thinking that is prevalent in our world today. I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5 says. He says that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It says that, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through what God, not through anything, through what God, to the pulling down of strong, not through crying, not through obeying, no, through what God, to pull down what stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh my God. Somebody say amen to this. If the devil can get our minds thinking opposite of what the word of God says, the battle is over. I'm telling you. If he can get your mind to think opposite of what the Bible is telling you, the battle is over. You are way gone. You are lost. Am I communicating here? So it is a twisted thing that he has done to this modern church into thinking that our suffering means that God does not care. Remember, the times of great spiritual fellowship often comes when we are in our greatest point of pain. The test season of temptation at the beginning of great victory. The first season of temptation takes place immediately after what? Conversion. Number two, the second season of temptation takes place when the pain of life settles in on us. The third season of temptation takes place when we are about to embark on some great what? Victory. The devil can sense it too. Somebody say can sense it. Am I teaching? The devil can sense it when God is about to bring you into some great state of revival and victory. He can sense it. He cannot read your mind. Please listen. He cannot read your mind or God intend, but he can see the patterns that are taking place in your life. I'm telling you, he can see the patterns. He can see the patterns and tell there is a breakthrough coming. He can see the pattern. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. But he can see the particles. Somebody say particles. He can see it written all around your life. He can see it. So when there is a prophetic word spoken upon your life, he can see the particles. In 2 years' time, the Lord is lifting. He can see the particles. He can see the particles. When you have a dream and you are telling folks, he can see the particles. He can see the patterns in your profession and your confession of the greatness about your life. He can see the pattern. He can see the patterns when Joseph said, I see the moon and the sun and the stars, they bow before me. He can see the patterns. He can see the pattern. He cannot read your mind. He cannot see the intent of God, but he can what? See the pattern. The patterns that are taking place what in your life. And then what he does is that he goes on and attacks. Genesis chapter 49 verse 17 in James. Let's read together. It says, an adder in the path. An adder in the path that biteth the horse heels so that the rider shall fall what? Backwards. So that the rider what? Shall forward backwards. That's the serpent. So the devil goes on the attack when he becomes alert to the fact that something significant, I want to repeat it again, something what significant is about to what take place what in your life. What is happening to my life? Listen, I said the last time, anytime that you sense a strong attack in your life, it means that There is what? A great breakthrough that is coming to your life. And that is where you need to what? Intensify your prayer. That is not the moment to cry and wail. That is the moment to intensify what? Your prayer. I'm telling you, he sees what? The patterns. And yet, it's not the time to say, God, why me? God, why this? Why this? Why my family? Then your genealogy are connected. No, no. Am I communicating here? In this moment like that, he will send Tobiah and somebody. He will send them to mock the wall builders. What are you doing? What are you doing? I remember gone were the days in me. People said, you are going nowhere. Nothing is going to happen. Ministry is going to die. You are not going to flourish. You're going to fall. Your anointing is not going anywhere. Because somebody said, Tobiah and Sambalat. They will mock you. They will mock your vision. They will mock your future. They will mock you. Am I communicating here? He will put Paul and Barnabas at odds so that they part away. That is what he does. That great friends will now not be great friends again. That is the scheme of the enemy. He attacks Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. He knew what Jesus would do through Paul and Barnabas. And therefore, he brought certain things among them and decided to what, part away. Am I communicating here? He attacked Jesus at the beginning of his ministry and assailed him all the way through it. And then bitterly attacked him today. And look at what they did to Jesus. They spat on him. Look at the whips he received. Am I communicating here? So the more prominent that a person may be in leadership, influence, and spiritual authority, the devil will do everything he can to make sure that he brings failure into your life. Am I teaching here? You will discover, and watch this, you will discover more often than not that just before God is going to do something great in your life, you will weather share or you will weather your share of storm and shakings. And that will attempt you to rattle your faith. Not only rattle your faith by your desire. I'm teaching you tonight, you can't quit. I'm speaking spirit into your life and speaking faith into you. You can't quit. You can't quit. Your faith cannot die. Your belief in God cannot die. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I can't quit. I can't quit. Hallelujah. The fourth season of temptation is object of the fall. Object. O-B-J-E-C-T-S. Object of the fall. If the first season of temptation takes place immediately after conversion, the second season takes place when the pain of life settles in on us. The third season takes place when we embark on some great victory. And the fourth season will take place when the devil put object near us that will cause us what? Fall. Praise the Lord. When he tempted Eve, listen, and brought her to fall, he used what? A tree. Is it not true? Are you following? Saying that the fourth season of temptation is that the devil will put what? Object near us to cause what? Our fall. If he used a tree, it was something near that he took what? Advantage to tempt her with. Am I teaching? Something what? Near. Hallelujah. She was near the tree that her eyes was put upon the tree, and then a dialogue started. Look at it. Immediately she looked at it, then a conversation started. And now the devil had a breakthrough. The fact is that what get into our eyes, write it down, what get into our eyes will soon find its way into our heart. It's deep, man. What get into our eyes will find its way into our heart. Shemima biscuit. Shemima. I bet you woman says here. Am I communicating here? It was an inordinate desire that Eve started looking at and she fell. When she get, you see, when we get into a conversation of rationalizing and justifying our evil actions, it won't be long before we fall into temptation. We will rationalize, we will justify it and all that. By the time we realize, we fall into temptation. And I want to say this, please write it. You have to fight with all your heart. How many fighters are in the house and how many are online? If you are online, I want you to type, I am a fighter. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. It says that, let's read together. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Keep thy heart. Keep what? Thy heart. Let's read. Keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it are the issues what? Of life. I'm telling you, now we hear the brain. Now we hear the brain. Hallelujah. Amen. I knew a guy. Say, Ali. If she is an American, is a. Hallelujah. Keep thy heart with what? All diligence. For out of it are what? The issues what? Of life. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 19. He says that, hear thou my son, and be wise. Hear thou my son, and what? Be wise. And guide thy heart in what? In the way. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 2, the same King James. It says that, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Am I communicating? Am I teaching here? Judas fell with what? His money bag. Money bag. Somebody say money bag. Judas fell with it. That was what was close to him. He fell with what? His money bag. What did Esau fall with? Stew. A bowl. Beans, right? Bean stew. Hallelujah. Obey. Esau fell with a bowl of what? Of stew. Demas fell with his love for the well. Achan fell with his longing for a wedge of gold and what? Garment. You see, you can count it on and on. The devil will place things in your way that will be heady and intoxicating to you. Take it. Use it. Get it. 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 All distraction to our spiritual health. So you'll be like 6 years, 7 years, 10 years in church, but spiritually you are not growing. Am I communicating here? I say I give you what, six seasons, right? Empty. Number five. The fifth season. After receiving great grace. After receiving what? Great grace. In the first season, immediately after what? Conversion. In the second season is what takes place when the pains of what? Of life settles what? On earth. The third season takes place when we are about to what? Embark on what? Some great victory. Fourth season takes place when what? The devil put what? Object near as that will cause us what? Fall. The fifth season of temptation will take place when we receive great grace and the mercy of God. Somebody might be saying, how is this possible? When we receive what? Great grace and what? The mercy of God. And you may refer this also to the eye principle. The eye principle, the smallest city or town. Look at what it did to the Israel. Am I communicating here? After you have experienced a great demonstration of the love of God, the grace of God and the power of God is in your life. Is it not true? Now the devil will come to attack with fierce temptation. When the anointing is so strong, when you feel that you are doing so well, and most saints and most believers find themselves in that state, spiritual relaxation. Hallelujah. Me, I can lead prayer. Me, I can sing. Me, I can do it. people are clapping for you. Hallelujah. People are joyous for you. This, I call them the relaxation moment. And now you zoom into a state of what? Spiritual relaxation. And somebody will say, oh, the gift is without repentance. Spiritual what? Relaxation. Am I communicating here? William Dunnell tells something. He said, if God smiles and opens himself a little familiar to us, then we are prone to grow high and wanton. If he frowns, then we sink as much in our faith. That's the one, like fair weather and warm gleams, brings up weeds of corruption, and the other, like sharp frost, nips and evil kills the flowers of grace. Unquote. Now look at the life of Peter in Matthew chapter 16. 1 minute, he has received grand revelation. 1 minute too, he had received grand revelation. The next minute, the Lord is calling him devil. 1 minute grand revelation, 1 minute he's been what called devil. Look at Joseph in Genesis. One moment he's flushed with pride of his father's love as he wears his coat, and the next moment he's sold by what? His jealous brothers. Look at the children of Israel collapsing the walls of Jericho. They are so happy and excited. Then 10 days later, they are rattled in Ai, a small town or a small city. How many of you have heard Ai before? Ai. You see in the Bible? Hallelujah. Amen. Small town. You call it artificial. You saw it like a small town. Oh, this one, they always, this one is easy to conquer. Am I communicating here? They were rattled what? By that. Much lesser, even the bigger opponent they conquer, and lesser one what they couldn't. Am I communicating here? Look at Moses receiving the law, the Ten Commandments. So much excitement comes from the mountain, the thickness of the glory of God, and then shortly he dashes it to the ground because of what? Idolatry at the foot of the mountain. Am I communicating here? We need to be mindful about the fifth season of temptation. And now the sixth season of temptation is at the moment of death. Close with this. At the moment of what? Of death. Hallelujah. At the moment of what? Of death. First season takes place what? Immediately what? After conversion. Second season, when what? The pain of life what? Settles in on. The third season, when we are about to embark on what? Great victory. The fourth season is when object put before us. The fifth season is when we receive what? Greater grace and what? The mercies of God. We move into a state of relaxation. And the sixth season of temptation will take place when we are in the hour of death. When we are what? In the hour of what? You see, when a believer of God is down in his last moment of life, he feels he's stricken in his body. How many of you have been down before? Down in pain and great loss. Down in pain and great loss. It's so much discouraging. Who say, there is no Reverend will call you and say, don't worry. Scripture says nothing. Am I communicating here? Then, in that moment, the cowardly tempter encroaches in you. He encroaches in your life. In the last minute, the last time, he encroaches. Am I communicating here? I don't know how many of you have avoided the pilgrim progress. Pilgrim progress. Watch, man. When a Christian had to swim the river, push the celestial sea. And he saw the brightness of the heavenly sea, but the challenge was deep, swiftly flowing river that was between him and the city. But there can be a rising confidence in knowing that we may look back our lives I realize that it has not been wasted if it has been faithfully lived out for the Lord. You would see that it has never been wasted. I'm telling you. It has never what? Been wasted. Somebody say it has never been wasted. Look back at your life, you realize that it has never been wasted if it has been faithfully lived out for the Lord. And I conclude with that I am now ready to be offered. You are ready to be offered. You are ready what? To be offered. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 to 8. It says, for I am now ready. Say, I am now ready. Am I teaching here? Let's read together. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6 to 8 in James version. Let's read together. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. I have what? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Is it there? Not to you only. Not to me only. But unto all them also that love is what? Appearing. One last thing about temptation. You can overcome and need not to fall. Say, I can overcome. Say, I can overcome and I need not to fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. It says that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, it says, but God is what? Is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. It means that you can overcome. Hallelujah. But will with the temptation also make what? A way of escape. It will shame that thou be to me pay. Hallelujah. Am I communicating here? That ye may be able to what? To bear it. My communication. Hallelujah. My teaching here. So there is a way of what? Of escape. You can what? Overcome. Am I communicating here? Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. He says that, for I know the thought I think what? Toward you, saith the Lord. Thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected what? End. James chapter 5 verse 11. He says that, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Read it. Let's read it. Ye have heard of what? The patience of Job. Ye have heard the patience of what? Job. And have seen the end of the law. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Am I communicating here? I want you to bow down your head. The Lord, as I have heard this teaching on the season of temptation concerning spiritual warfare, Lord, give me greater grace. That's one prayer. Give me greater grace. Your only prayer you're praying, give me greater grace. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Alima na mashade brede kode zeprata kama na mashala barada baha rente nimi.
This has been an amazing life-transforming message from Reverend Sydney Alumensa. Do not forget to share with friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you and Shalom.